turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Beginning in verse 19. Then, the same day, this is after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, literally they were barred shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. When the Lord Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb on that Sunday morning, there was something he went in there with that he left there without: the sins of his elect. He went in there bearing their sins, and he walked out of that tomb with their sins being put away. They are no more. But there is also something he went in there with that he came out with: his wounds in his glorified body. He came out with his wounds. Now, I dare say most of you have some scars somewhere. In glory, you'll have none. There will not even be a remembrance of sin. But he still bears the marks that he received on Calvary's tree. Look in John chapter 20, verse 26. This is 8 days later. And after 8 days again, this was on a Monday, 8 days after the resurrection. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Our Lord could have removed these marks, but he didn't. Even now, as he is seated at the right hand of the Father, he has the visible marks that he received on the cross. When John saw him, when heaven was opened to John, he said in Revelation 5, when he spoke of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he said, I saw a lamb as it had been slain. He said concerning himself, I am he that liveth and was dead. And the marks are still evidence. And behold, I am alive evermore and have the keys of hell and death. Now my question is, why does he still have his wounds? He didn't have to, but he does. Why does he still have the marks of his death? Turn to Luke chapter 24. Let me give you several reasons that I believe the Scripture bears out. Luke chapter 24, let's begin reading in verse 36. This is Luke's account of the same event. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified. Now, our Lord is in his glorified body at this time, and perhaps they couldn't even recognize him. There's several times after his resurrection where people did not recognize him. Now, I don't understand this, but somehow he looked different. While he was on earth, his visage was marred more than the sons of men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And now he's in his glorified body. And they were terrified. They were affrighted. And they supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, verse 38, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, they had seen something miraculous take place. He walked through those barred doors. I don't know if the doors were opened or whether he just passed right through them. I don't know. They debate on what. Who knows? Who knows? But they saw something miraculous take place. And he walked in there and they were scared to death. And he shows them, I am the one you followed for 3 years. I am the one who was born of the Virgin Mary. I am the one who was laid in that tomb. I'm the one who walked out. I'm the same one. You're not seeing a spirit. You're not seeing an effort. You see me. Flesh and bones. Now our Lord, is man. He's God. He's man. Flesh and bones forever. He's the eternal Son. Isaiah 9:6 says, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That son wasn't born, that son was given. He's the eternal God. But that child was born. He became flesh and he will never cease to be a man. But this man, the Scripture says, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, as I speak, there is a man in glory, seated at the right hand of God, with the marks, the visible marks of the wounds still in his flesh that he received on the cross that he died on. There's still scars in his hands and feet and a hole in his side where the spear was thrust through. Seated at the right hand of the Father, the man, Christ Jesus. But look back to John chapter 20 for a moment. John chapter 20. Our Lord said at the end of verse 19, Peace be unto you. Now, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the same bunch who had forsaken him. All of them forsook him and fled. He's talking to those ones who had been so unbelieving on at least 3 different occasions. The Lord told them, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be slain, and the 3rd day I'm going to be raised from the dead. He told them that in no uncertain terms. Why weren't they there waiting? Because they didn't believe him. They didn't understand what he was saying. They should have been waiting there, but they weren't. So he comes to these men who had forsaken him, and he says, "Peace. Peace be unto you." And he shows them his hands and his feet. Here we have the only ground of the believer's peace. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, we read these words. Having made peace. Having made peace by the blood of His cross, by Him, to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you. Anybody know the next three words? Holy. And unblameable and unreprovable. I'm holy. Nothing to blame me for, nothing to reprove me for. This is what His blood actually accomplished. Here is the only ground for peace. These things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Do you remember what flowed out of His side, that hole that came in His side? John tells us that blood and water came out of His side. Every other miracle, blood and water flowed from His side in answer to Zechariah's prophecy. Out of His, a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Blood to put away sin and to make me justified. Water to sanctify me and make me holy. It all came from Him. There's the only ground of peace that the believer has. But isn't it a great ground? Do you need anything else to give you peace? You know, this gives me peace. Knowing that what my Lord did is all that's needed to make me holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. And He still has those marks to show us. In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, we read, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then shall he answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Now, you know who I believe asked him this question? It was an angel. It was an angel. A believer would understand this. He'd know. He was an angel. And doesn't the Scripture point out in the great mystery of godliness that he was seen of angels? Oh, they were amazed when they saw him leave glory and go to earth. They were amazed when they saw what he subjected himself to. They were amazed when they saw him come back. And he tells them, "These are the wounds that I received in the house of my friends." And they fall down before him and cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Now these wounds that he has even now as I'm speaking, these are his beauty and his glory. A soldier is not ashamed of the wounds he receives in battle, is he? He's not ashamed to cover those up. How the beauty of Christ is seen in his death. The Shulamite said, "My beloved is white and ruddy." He's white in his sinless perfection. He's blood red in his sacrifice. Now, what beauty we see in his wounds. I wish I could talk about this the way it ought to be talked about, but we see the beauty of his obedience. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. We see his love to his Father. "Son, let him nail you to the cross." "Yes, Father." We see his holiness. He would rather die than let one sin go unpunished and his Father's justice not be vindicated. We see his great faith. He was utterly in the dark, and yet he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He knew darkness that you and I know nothing about. We just heard about it. But he never quit believing God. And we see the power of what his wounds actually accomplished. Turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8. What do his wounds tell us? Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us. Now this is what his wounds tell me. God is for me. If God be for us, what is there to be afraid of? Who can be against us? Name it. If nothing. Nothing to be intimidated by. If God be for me. And this is what his wounds tell me. They didn't make God for me. They're there because God is for me. And his wounds tell me that God, the holy God of glory, is for me. And who can be against me? Look in verse 32. Here's what his blood accomplished. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not? What could possibly prevent him from freely giving us all things? Nothing to prevent him. Nothing could. You can't mess this up. You can't sin it away. Nothing, nothing, nothing could prevent him from freely, without a cause in me, giving me everything. That's what his blood accomplished. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No prosecution. There's nothing to prosecute me for. Brent, there's nothing there. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God justified him. This is what our Lord did on Calvary's tree. By his blood, every one of his people were justified. That means I have no guilt. Without sin before God. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? No condemnation. And here's the only answer. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Because of his wounds, I cannot be separated. That's what he accomplished. These wounds that our Lord still bears speak of his advocacy and priesthood even right now. Listen to the scripture from Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. For us. Now when he arose, having finished his work, he does not stop being a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. A priesthood that never had a beginning and that will never end. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And let me say this about the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord intercedes, it's not like I sin and he says, Father, forgive me for that one. And then I sin the exact same sin again the next minute or the next day and he prays once again, Father, forgive him, and over and over. No, not at all. All he does is stand before the Father and show his hands and his feet, and nothing else needs to be said. Amen. That's it. 5 bleeding wounds he bare, received on Calvary's tree. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. And that's what takes place. Now, these wounds speak of judgment. He still has these wounds. Not pain, you know that. But he still has the visible marks of his sufferings. And if you die without Christ, here is what you will be guilty of on judgment day. The murder. The death of the Son of God. You may have done many heinous things, but nothing compares to this. The death of the Son of God. Now somebody says, now, I wasn't there. Here's the point. If God left you to yourself right now, that's what you'd be doing. He knows what you would do. That's what he sees. And his wounds will be the evidence, the physical, visible evidence against you. If I die without Christ, his wounds will be the irrefutable evidence against me. Now when he returns, his wounds will be your weal or your woe. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now when he returns, his wounds will be either your comfort or your terror. Now, here's the main point. This is my last point. Here's the main point. His wounds Let me say this. When I'm in heaven, when you're in heaven, we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to have glorified minds. We're going to have glorified hearts. We won't be conscious of sin. We won't know anything about guilt. We won't know anything about unbelief. We won't be conscious of sin. Now, can somebody even imagine that? I can't. I can't imagine what that's going to be like, to be without sin. And John, when he was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he was describing it, he said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. John couldn't understand. But we know this, when he shall appear, we'll be like him. For we'll see him as he is. But we can't understand that. But here I am in glory, with no conscience of sin. But I'm still going to know that the only reason I'm there is because of his wounds. That's it. I might not be conscious of sin at that time. I won't be. But I will know the only reason I'm there is because of his wounds. I'll look upon him and I'll know, here's why I'm here. There is no other reason. No other reason. This is the only reason. I'll never be allowed to forget. But you know what? Turn with me to Isaiah 49 for a moment. He still has his wounds. Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Now, not only do his wounds cause me to know that the only reason I'm there is because of him, but his wounds will cause him to never forget me.
Amen.
Now, there is a man seated in glory. He's seated because his work is finished. He has put away the sin of all of God's elect. He has accomplished salvation. And there he sits. But he still sits there with wounds. And this is a continual reminder to us that that man in glory is the Savior.
Amen.
And he delights. Listen to me. He delights in mercy.
Amen.
He delights in saving sinners. You know, people find fault with him. Why didn't he save everybody? Why didn't he elect everybody? He could have. Why didn't he save everybody? Now, when we think things like that, and we've all thought that, what we're doing, we become his judge. We become his judge. We sit in judgment on him saying, I wouldn't do it that way. Now, let me tell you the truth. If it were up to me or you, not one person would be saved. Not one. Not one. Let somebody cross you enough times and you'll cross them off. Now, you'll do it. I mean, that's just the way we are. But he delights in mercy, and his wounds are a continual reminder. He says, come unto me. This one with the wounds in his hands and in his feet. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I, the high and holy Son of God, am meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. There's a man in glory with the wounds in his hands and feet, the hole in his side. And he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Pastor.
That's why it's called good news. What a blessing. I appreciate these men so much. And thank them for coming and thank the Lord for them. Well, in about 5 minutes, we'll partake of a whole lot of food. There's a lot of food here. If you want, you can stay and fellowship together and eat with us, please do. You ladies, whoever needs to go serve, y'all go ahead and go. And we'll give you a few minutes to get ready. Nobody? It's every man for himself in there, I guess. Y'all are just embarrassed to get up. I see it. Don't be embarrassed. I'm grateful for these ladies and all the work they do. Blessing to this church. Let's be dismissed in prayer, and then we'll go eat together. Brother Bob Coffey, would you ask the Lord to bless these words to us tonight?
Our Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks this night that You brought us to this place, that You blessed us here by our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to rejoice each day in that which our Lord has done for us that we couldn't. Father, help us to rejoice in that coming day when we'll be made like Him.
Amen.
Father, we look forward to that day, and until that day, keep us, bless us, make us walk. place in these people. Lord, I pray thy richest blessings upon them in the days of death. Now bless this food and our time of fellowship together. May it be for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we give thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.